Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so you've married this guy and it's going pretty good. Like, you guys have this like relaxing life and you have a child from a previous marriage, and he and the kid get along pretty well. And you guys live in like a cute little beach house and just live like a pretty idyllic life. Now, you know that he like used to be a cop. No, he used to be an FBI guy. And he used to, like, solve murders. And you know that, like, he kind of, like, there was this whole thing where, like, he killed a guy and he, like, kind of freaked out about it. And he had to get sent, be institutionalized for a little while. But you know that he also is, like, the best guy at, like, finding these, like, really fucked up killers. Because, like, he can, like, he can do this thing where, like, he can, like, see through their eyes. So, like, it's a very unique skill set of his. So he goes and he like does this. He has to do this final, like, find this killer thing. And you're like, I don't want him to do it because like he's probably going to get killed. Because last time he was doing it, he got stabbed in the belly and it was horrible. So he like hunts down this guy. He does it. And he comes back home and you're like, wow, great. And you've never seen how he gets when he like does his murder investigations. Like, you just know that like he gets very intense and like he's always away from you during that time. So you're hanging out, blah, blah, blah. Everything's great. He's caught this guy. It's wonderful. Or he killed this, the guy's dead or something. Uh-oh. The guy shows up at the beach house. He hasn't been dead. And you're like, oh, my God. This killer is here. The killer, like, tries to go after your son. Now, in order to stop the killer from killing your son, you hear this from down the hall. You hear your husband pretend to be the mom of the guy, of the killer, and in a high voice starts berating your son and being like, you pissed your pants, you dirty little pig. And you've never seen him act like this. You've never heard him do a character before. So this is all very new. He like berates your son for like 10 minutes, like in this fake grandma voice. It's like screaming at your son. And he's like, you pissed your pants. You go lay in it. Take it out. I'm going to cut your little penis off. And long story short, you shoot the killer and you save the day. But there still is the fact that your husband thought that the best way to get rid of this killer was to pretend to be the killer's mom and berate your son. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Brian.
I'm Patrick.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, is this from a thing or did you just make this up?
Okay, it might seem like I made this up. I did not.
This is how I imagine you dealing with problem behavior in the cats.
Threatening to cut off Smokey's dick.
Yeah, cut off Smokey's little penis. No, the This is from the 2002, I want to, or 12. I can't remember what year this was. This came out. Oh, 2002. Brett Ratner directed Red Dragon.
Okay.
Starring Ed Norton as Will Graham.
Yes. I was getting Hannibal vibes the whole time.
Yeah.
But then I was like, did I? Best. I was,
yeah.
Yeah. And then I couldn't think of, I was like, what season is that? Okay.
Oh, no.
No.
Nothing as good as the show Hannibal. No, no, no. So in the climax of that movie,
Will pretends to be
the Red Dragon's dead grandmother.
And uses that and is mean to that. I guess I'm still, I think a conversation would need to happen in this scenario. Like, why did you not, why did you mock the child and not the killer?
So I think what he wanted to do ostensibly was to get the guy, get the killer to think of the child as him.
Okay. Because, because the killer is notoriously empathetic?
Because the killer would, can only empathize with other people if he thinks of them as him.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
It does fall apart. And this is not in the book. He does not do this in the book.
Well, and it's true. This is a time where Ed Norton really liked pretending to be people. That was like a whole...
He loved pretending to be people.
What, you mean when he's acting? What are you talking
about? But I mean, he likes... Like, that was a lot. I'm
linking this to, like, Primal Fear.
Yeah. And he was fresh off of Primal Fear, I think.
Yeah, and he did... Yes, he played characters, Colin. But also, he would play characters who would do... Perform who would, at... Gotcha. Who would then do characters.
Gotcha. And it's very specifically that, like... Throughout the entire movie, Ed Norton seems very sleepy. Like, he's not really interested in being in this movie until the moment that he gets to be the Graham.
He eats it up.
He eats it up.
I mean, maybe he's been hunting serial killers too long, and he's, like, adopting some of their non-killer traits.
But I guess, does it matter what his problem is? The question is, do you keep him in your house with your son anymore?
Well, did the ends justify the means? Is your kid still alive?
The kid is still alive.
But because you saved him.
But it's, well, here's the thing. The kid,
you saved the kid.
You did not save the kid. Yeah.
Bill did not do it.
He loosened the jelly jar.
Here's what happened. Okay. So killer's got the kid. You do the grandma character. Mm-hmm. Killer roars in confused rage and throws the child across the room. You are on the ground because he shot you. And then, I'm sorry, not you. Ed Norton. Ed Norton's on the ground because the killer shot him. And then you shoot the killer like 20 times in the head.
But you only
tried to kill your child.
You only had that shot because of the grandma character.
Because of the grandma character.
I think you owe the grandma character a debt.
You owe them a life debt.
You do.
Yeah, so you can call me when you need your life saved, but that doesn't mean I need to force my child to be around someone who caused so much trauma.
I don't know. It sounds like the shoot the hostage scenario.
Yeah, where you shoot him in the shoulder.
But yes, and if you shoot the hostage and that hostage is my son, we got a problem. I don't have to stay with you anymore.
But he didn't shoot the hostage. Razzed him?
But
that's the issue?
I just also think it was...
There's more at stake in this moment.
Yeah, I'm not saying you should go to the jail for it. I'm saying that you may not live in the same house with your child and him anymore.
I also think, like I feel like Will Graham chose that moment to do, like, a one-man show that happened to work. Like, I feel like... You know what I mean? Like, I think it was a coincidence that it did work.
Yeah. But if he pulls down a curtain and wraps it around himself and gets a mop head and puts it on his head as a makeshift wig.
Yes.
That's like...
Okay, how is the kid? I guess in this scenario, is the kid okay?
Well, we don't see the kid.
No, but you
ever again.
Doing the hot take, Kelly.
Okay.
So you
I think okay, here's what I think. I think the kid feels weird about the dad.
Okay.
You know, like, feels weird about Ed Norton.
Midget.
Like, is like, I don't know how to feel about him because, like, I had a knife at my throat, mm-hmm. or actually a shard of mirror at my throat. And then he went into character.
Yeah.
So, and that character was mean to me. And I don't really understand. Also, I'm like six.
This is really, this is like
a 6-year old.
This is like a dark reflection of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes. Yes.
Which there honestly, is. Okay, Mrs. Doubtfire ends appropriately, except maybe he should have zero contact with the kids ever.
Zero. Non-con. Mm-hmm. No, wait, not non-con. No contact.
No contact.
You know what? All right. I think I've got to lean with Mogi on this. Like, but not like, oh, fuck you. You're disgusting. What a weird freak. But just like, hey, this was really traumatic for both me and my son. We're going to move out and like maybe we'll stay in contact somehow, but not right now. And Ed Norton is like, well, that's the cost of being like a great hostage negotiator.
Well, like, yeah, I think like you say that, right? Like you're like this. It's not like I think maybe what you did worked, but like my son is very traumatized. And so like we need some space. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like Ed Norton kind of goes off and is like, this is why like you just don't understand like what I become when I follow these killers. I'm twisted. I'm sick.
Well, great. Even more reason. We should both take some space.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody needs therapy, and I think Will Graham has to decide what he wants to be. Do you want to be a husband and father, or do you want to be the greatest serial killer hunter there is? Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. You have to choose. You can't do both. You've proven it. And that's what I'll say in front of the therapist. You've proved you cannot handle both.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then those are two.
You got to pick one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not going to last.
Jesus, I mean, still, this is going to carry over from.
You mean.
Well, it'll carry over from next week.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have a bit and it won't die, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Yep. Time.
Yeah, it's like some kind of unkillable ship.
Yay!
Mm.
Mm-mm. Guys, the Old Guard movie is coming out on Netflix today, which means we're talking about things that cannot be killed.
Yes.
Unkillable.
I want to talk about this movie because I'm excited about it. I thought it was going to be a series, and so I was like, I don't know, my capacity to take in new TV series right now feels so diminished. Like, I just can't get through. I can't commit to something like long and new anymore. But now that I know it's just a movie, I am very excited.
Yeah. And it's the director, is Gina Blythe. Oh shoot. I'm going to say her name wrong. Danward, I think is her last name.
But Gina Prince Bythewood.
Thank you. It's like three words that I didn't know were names, but she was the director of Love and Basketball. So she gets like a lifetime pass for me. I'll watch all her shit.
Very cool.
I'm excited to see her version of this.
It looks cool.
Yeah, it does.
It's based on a comic book series written by Greg Rucka. And that series rules. It's so good.
Heck yeah. And it is like a supernatural secret soldier sort of recruitment story, correct?
Yeah, where it's just like their superpower is that they live forever and don't die and just end up in like every single conflict throughout like the history of the world.
Oh, so they're vampires. Okay.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. Or they're Wolverines.
They're either vampires or Wolverines. Mm-hmm.
Though we all know Wolverine dies one day.
Aw.
He dies a lot. Wolverine
dies with his heart in his hand. And then his hand is holding Laura's. Oh.
Well, wait. Because for my unkillable ship, I am choosing Wolverine as a pillar of it.
Ooh, yay.
Let's hear it.
So this is specifically with like the current like configuration of the X-Men, where they have the technology, they have the capability to essentially regenerate any of the X-Men at any time.
Mm-hmm.
There are like these clone X-Men, like mutant bodies, just waiting to be populated with the consciousness of mutants. And Charles Xavier is basically downloading new consciousnesses like every couple days, so that like when someone dies, they bring them back like almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's no super cool.
No bad consequences of that. That's going to be really great.
It just sounds really fun and happy.
I'm sure it's totally equitable. You don't have to like be totally on the inside track to get access to this forever life.
Yeah.
Actually, if you're a mutant, you don't. The way Krakoa works is that it is welcoming to all mutants, so everyone is there. Fucking Apocalypse is on the team now. It's awesome. The way that the X-Men and all the mutants were like able to unite and like kind of like work together to establish this whole like mutant resurrection thing is that Moira McTaggart has been living like multiple lives. Like every time she originally assumed to be a human, revealed to be a mutant whose mutant power is every time she dies, she goes back and lives her life again and can make different choices, like creating like alternate realities. And so we are currently in like the 10th of her lifetimes, and she gave Professor Xavier all of the information about the various ways that mutants are defeated throughout like the various Marvel history timelines. So one of the things that she warns him against is that humans will develop an artificial intelligence that will destroy all mutant kind and all humankind. And so the thing that you have to do is you have to stop the mother mold before it goes online. And the mother mold is a thing that makes the sentinels that the humans use to hunt the X-Men. So there is an issue of, I believe it's House of X, where there's a team of mutants that are like going into space to this mother mold creating machine, right? And it's like a satellite that's orbiting a star, and it's close to the star because it's like taking in the energy from it, like it's solar powered, right? And so they're all there to like bust shit up, and it's cool, but things start to go south pretty fast. And it comes down to just Wolverine and Nightcrawler are left. And they are like, everyone else has been defeated. It's okay. They will be resurrected. But they have one shot to take out the mother mold before, the humans can bring this AI online, and mutants are doomed for this timeline.
Can I interject that, Nightcrawler is like really hot during this time? I just need to say Nightcrawler is extremely hot. and that's it. Thank you.
No, you are correct, and thank you for interjecting that.
I thought Nightcrawler was always hot.
He's especially hot.
Especially
I'm trying to think
hot.
Of a not hot Nightcrawler.
It's like he's hotter than you could imagine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So they just need to take out this one. There's like one arm out in space that's like holding this mother mold together, and it's being blasted by radiation. And Wolverine's like, we only have one option here, Kurt. And Nightcrawler's like, you got it, Logan, let's do it. Bamf, teleports them both outside into outer space, where Nightcrawler just slowly drifts away because he's in the goddamn vacuum of space being irradiated by this fucking sun. And Wolverine, who can hold on a little bit longer because he's made of adamantium and has the healing factor, is just ripping apart this arm with his claws as the flesh gets torn from his bones.
Ugh. Jeez.
And it's such like an awesome down in flames kind of moment.
It's really
cool. It's like a total, it's a bro ship for me.
Yeah.
That like these two unkillable monsters, who I guess they do die, but they come back, like can just put everything on the line and just like get shit done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's really cool.
Very cool.
Kelly, you got a unkillable ship?
Yes, I do. Thank you for asking. Okay, so I feel like this ship is one that just will never die. Is it because I won't let it? Maybe. and it is, I think it's one that keeps coming back despite the fact that the rest of you don't like it. Now, let me paint the picture here. Let me paint the stage.
Oh my God.
Paint that stage.
Can't paint the stage. How can we walk on it?
So it's a sumptuous hall. Mm-hmm. There's gold and a huge table that's like swaying with the weight of all the jewelry and like beautiful feast that's on it.
Oh, wow.
There's a large dragon. We'll call him Smaug, who's seated and just gorging on the food that's on the table. There's some bell rings or something to indicate that someone's like at the door of the cave. His cave is like a mansion, let's just say.
Yeah.
Who walks in? Shrek is there. Shrek says, oh, it looks like I came a little overdressed. Does Shrek wear pants?
Yeah. He wears little pantaloons.
The way you...
Yeah,
he wears pants.
Okay.
Not for long, though.
So Shrek comes in and he's like, looks like I came a little overdressed because Smaug is nude. So he takes off his little chunky vest and sits down at the table. Smaug, there's like Smaug says, would you like something else to drink? And then Shrek says, yes, please, I will have mead. And Smaug stands up, and after Smaug stands up, it reveals the donkey's wife dragon was in there.
In where? What do you mean?
In Smaug.
What?
In his butt? Like
pegging him?
Yeah. So Smaug stands up to go get...
This is a new wrinkle, and I don't know if I like it.
I was in there? Like...
was in... So he stands up, and Lady Dragon is sitting there.
I think her name is Dragon.
Dragon. Dragon's sitting there. And Smaug goes and gets some mead, and then he says, oh... Dragon, I think we have another guest coming. Can you pull out another chair? So Dragon stands up, and underneath Dragon,
there we go.
Mushu, soaking wet. Mushu,
right,
comes out and is seated on the chair, and then Shrek looks at all three of them. Boom, 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 and then he comes. The end.
Wow, so we don't ever get to find out who the other guest was?
Are you clapping for yourself, Kelly?
I did not clap. My hands are down.
Uh-huh.
No, the other guest was... Oh, okay, Boggle? Hold on. Yeah. Okay, wait, I have an idea. So then Mushu's sitting there. The other guest is you. This is a...
wow.
This is a reader. This is a fanfic, and it's Shrek /...
Well, so wait, is it my detective character from Little Shop of Horrors?
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, is Patrick there? Because that's more interesting.
Okay. Yes. So they all get up, and then they're sitting in their separate chairs now. Some of them are drenched, and there's an extra chair, and ding dong, uh-oh, someone's there. Out comes... a man in a trench coat, and he introduces himself as Inspector Ellers, and he looks around and says, there's a mystery afoot.
Oh my God.
And Smaug opens his mouth really wide, and then Patrick jumps up on the table and swan dives into Smaug's mouth. And then all of them do it too after Patrick. And then the whole ship takes place between Patrick and the other characters inside Smaug.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, no notes on my end.
Ryan, how you feeling?
I don't understand why this is happening. Why did we add Dragon? The tenuous connection between
I'm confused
Shrek
about Dragon as well.
Smaug was that there was this like dragon idea around them, but like wasn't. But now Dragon's there, so now Shrek is meaningless. Why the fuck is Shrek there? Now and Mushu, Mushu's soaking wet. Could Mushu breathe? I don't understand.
Okay. Mushu has
going.
One
of, fix it, Kelly.
Here's the thing, Mushu, Moki, for every question you could ask of her, Kelly will have an answer.
No, okay, Mushu has like one of those little, you know, in like science fiction movies when people have that little inhaler type thing and then they swim around and they can breathe under the water.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure, like a Qui-Gon and
yeah,
yeah.
So Phantom Mushu has Menace, one of yeah. those. Now,
okay.
Now, Jar Jar Binks is also in there.
Jar Jar Binks shows up, but
well,
they...
Well, you know what happens? It's while they're all having sex inside Smaug, Inspector Ehlers reaches underneath his chin, pulls off his wig, because he was Jar Jar the whole time. Because it was pretty gross to have our friend in that. I'm sorry.
It's the self-insert it's, character.
No. Yeah, self-inserted friend... into Smaug. No.
And then Jar Jar to be inserted.
So then Jar Jar like looks around and is like he starts like scratching kind of like at his chest, and then he like pulls it apart and it's Patrick.
Wow. A little
so
Russian
he's
doll
wearing
scenario.
Two layers of costume.
And then Patrick removes his wig and it's Hoggle.
Oh my god, I can't believe you would make this disgusting.
Ryan, do you have an unkillable ship?
I don't know what to say right now.
That's amazing.
Because also, how did you, why is that unkillable? I don't know.
Because
moving on, sorry, I didn't mean to ask a question. Okay, so
they're all wearing masks. I forgot to mention that they're all wearing like Eyes Wide Shut masks. Okay, I'm done.
Are you sure?
I'm done.
Oh. I was actually excited about mine, and now I don't even want to use words.
Ryan, come on.
All right, so
yours will be a palate cleanser.
I don't even know if it will. Okay, so unkillable ships, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
And you know what's always unkillable in a horror franchise? The final girl. And my favorite final girl is Sydney Prescott from Scream.
Yeah, Sydney.
Snaps.
And I think we talked about her dead boyfriend, Jerry O'Connell. And mm-hmm. we've kind of talked about the people on the board for her. There's really no one in the Scream franchise who's a great long-term bet for her. She needs someone who is also unkillable, who does things like jumps off a bridge holding hands with his friend and lives.
Uh-huh.
Or like breaks in and out of prison at will, and
Dang. Sometimes
is like, I think at one point is driving a car with a big safe connected to the back of it, running away from the police. What I'm saying is she needs to be with someone in the Fast and Furious franchise. I think Dominic and Sydney
could
be together.
Wow,
they would never die, and
sure.
They also both understand. He's got his family. He's got his business. He's got stuff to do. She's got stuff to do. She likes to hide, you know, in the woods and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I
she
feel
likes
like
to
they,
hide in the woods.
She does.
She loves it.
She
loves
has
it.
Trauma.
Never does it out of necessity.
No, she has lots of trauma. She's dealing with it. And so, like, they aren't an all the time people. But like, if she wants to call someone she knows is still alive, she can call him.
Honestly, why aren't we seeing Fast and the Furious crossover movies?
Like, why not? There are no laws governing the Fast universe at this point.
It's profit sharing, probably.
Mm.
Right now, they get to make all of that money.
Okay,
yeah, that's true.
So like,
it's like that thing with Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where they're like they have to split it among all the property holders.
Yeah, it's too much. So, but like, would be interesting. Would be like if Universal would bring in like their classic monsters.
Okay.
Yeah, Fast and Furious versus Frankenstein.
Yeah, I think it has
to go to space first, but then I think they can go to Transylvania.
That's cool.
Oh, there's like this car that's driving around wreaking havoc, and the like Hobbs and Shaw are trying to investigate who made a self-driving car, but it turns out it's the Invisible Man.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, because if you watched Hobbs and Shaw, they really did introduce like magic science in that. Because, like, Idris Elba is, like, I think he's, like, half android.
Yeah, something like that. It's like a super soldier like a, upgrade yeah, he's process a super, of some kind.
Yeah, but he's not. They act as if it's a Marvel movie and it's normal for there to be super soldiers.
Yeah.
When this was really based on an undercover cop at a drag racing ring.
Oh, that was so long ago.
But that's why Fast and Furious means something. The terms.
Oh, truth.
But yeah, so I think Dominic and Sydney could be friends.
I love that for them.
They'll live forever.
That's good.
I like that. I like that until she meets The Rock. And then, you know, has to upgrade. Much like the franchise did, where it just straight up upgraded its leading man.
Damn.
Sorry, Vin.
I mean, one was easier to work with, let's just say.
Mm.
Also, the series was down a leading man, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
They overlapped, I think, a couple of movies.
Okay.
But yes, I understand what you're saying.
Now we're Colin, all just quietly thinking about Paul Walker.
Well, okay, and I did think about Paul Walker before because I was like, is it weird to say unkillable when someone died who was right? But the character Paul Walker played lived.
He
lives forever.
Did they just write him off onto an island or something?
Yeah, they wrote, you've never seen the end of, is it Fast 6? It's very sad. That song, that Wiz Khalifa song plays. And they did an edit, so it looks like Paul Walker and Vin Diesel are like racing each other up and down these mountains in Hawaii.
Uh huh.
And then it's just playing. Been a long time.
Yeah, I remember that.
You, my friend. It's like so sad.
Racing
and they had Paul Walker's brother play parts of it, but like they did CGI so that it looks like it's Paul Walker racing with. And that's the last kind of like they reference him. But like, just like he's happy, he and his wife and his kids are happy.
That's he got out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I think is the most humane ending they could do, because it would have been pretty fucked up in a movie about like racing cars, an action movie, to kill him off screen or on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it honors him more than anything else would have.
Does it honor him more than Carrie Fisher is honored in The Rise of Skywalker?
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, right, guys, the more I think about The Rise of Skywalker...
But what about the honor that they bestow upon her in Rogue One?
That's okay.
No, that is so much worse.
She was still alive.
No, she wasn't alive.
Yeah, she was.
Was she? Then why did they make her a gross-looking cartoon?
Because they were trying to make her look young.
Why not just leave her out of that fucking thing?
They could have left her out of the movie, you're right. But I don't know. That one feels more in line with the character that we knew versus her...
Plus, they already broke the seal on gross cartoon people in Rogue One. So, like, just keep giving us gross cartoon people. Ugh. I'm fine with it.
Oh, I hate it. I've been thinking about it.
I don't think Kylo Ren deserved anyone sacrificing themselves in any way to help him.
No.
She's just been lightsaber through his heart. Just fucking get it done.
Oh, yeah, but he's her son.
Right, who killed her boy? Her husband, her ex-husband.
Her boyfriend.
Oh, my God, my boyfriend.
Guys, I was thinking about... Star Wars. And I was thinking about how depressing it is as a choice. Like, I don't know if it's cynical because I think they did it to give us new hope feelings, but it's really depressing if you go from Return of the Jedi to Force Awakens, because everything that felt like a victory is completely gone.
Right.
So, well, like, history's just going to repeat
never
itself.
Ends.
Right. And so the good guys are always going to be behind. And the good guys will never really win because eventually the bad guys will take back over. It's really fucking depressing.
I mean, it feels true to the historical experience, though, right?
No, it's real. It's just... And I know that the end of Return of the Jedi is uncharacteristically happy. Like, that's not... Most Star Wars movies are not that happy at the end. But it really goes from, like, the pretty much the only happy ending to, oh, yeah, nothing you did actually made a significant difference. Beyond creating legends for the next generation to hope to live up to.
Well, I mean, you can hope that it improves the lives of at least some and eases the tension for maybe a generation or two. I don't know, man. But yeah, that's kind
of... Then we have a bunch of war profiteers and we don't even pay attention to them. We just like move on. Yeah, there's war profiteers. There's freaking kids in cages.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's do a whole movie where we don't worry about them. Let's introduce Carrie Russell.
Yeah.
And keep her in that mask the whole time.
We could have fucking we could have freed some fucking kids. Could have fought some war profiteers.
Yep.
Colin, do you have an unkillable ship?
yeah, I do. Did you guys watch Russian Doll on Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a fun show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So mine is Nadia and Alan from that show. You know, so if you haven't seen it, they are in a specifically violent kind of Groundhog's Day where every day they die before midnight. And no matter what they do, it always happens. It just, all that changes is like the way they meet their fate. And I love the show so much with like, it's so fucking patient. And because it's like a modern Netflix show, you only get 10 episodes, but they still wait 4 episodes to introduce the love interest.
Yeah.
Because there's like so much to get through just with Nadia's character. And I love that. I think they have the cutest meet cute I've seen in recent years, where they're on an elevator together and the cable snaps and it's plummeting. And Nadia has now died dozens of times at this point. And so she's sitting there. I think she might even like light a cigarette for the ride down. And she notices that he's also not panicking. And as they're dropping, she's like, "Hey, we're going to die. Didn't you get the memo?" And he's like, he looks at her. He says, "Oh, it's okay. I die all the time."
I love it.
It's so good.
It's really good. It's really good.
And then the mission becomes she has to find him, and they team up, and he's got like, they both have a lot of emotional baggage, you know, neither. And it's not like just like, oh, they're shitheads. Like, no, like they've lived lives and they're complicated three-dimensional characters that like have a lot of shit to work through. And they form this beautiful friendship and love for each other. And they now have a mission, and it gives me an existential crisis at moments, which is great. I love that. Super good show. That's my ship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's getting a season 2 soon.
Cool.
Yeah, that's, it was definitely greenlight. I don't know when we get to see it.
Oh,
yeah,
right. We don't know, it probably was not in production before all of this.
Yeah.
What's wrong, buddy?
Colin, do you have any questions from Twitter we can answer?
Yeah, I do. Hold on. Give me a second. I got to open it up.
I'm sorry for making us talk about Star Wars. It really was bumming me out just to think about how nothing ever changes, and yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I let us in there. I'm sorry.
I don't mind.
If you would like your questions read and answered on the show, you can tweet at us at ShippleDips, that's Shipple like nipple and Dips like nips, or you can email us at ShippleDipsShow@gmail.com.
So this comes from our dear friend and listener, Mothwoman, Bride of Mothman, at ShippleDips. If there are any classic foundational movies you haven't seen, what would be your ships for them based only on secondhand knowledge of the movie? That is a fun scenario. It reminds me of when we did our ships at first sight episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
I feel like there's a lot of foundational movies I haven't seen, but I can't think of them right now.
Right, right. Have you seen the Godfather movies?
I think I saw the first one many, many, many years ago, but I don't know if I saw the whole thing, and I have not seen the other two.
So I haven't seen any of the Godfather movies, but I don't know who or what from it I could ship, because like my impression of it is like I don't have a lot of information about it. I know there's a horse's head in the bed,
right?
And I know Brando's in it, and I know there's we just watched Streetcar Named Desire last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's fucking great in that movie. Like,
mm-hmm.
Scary, yeah. And like,
but also hot.
Also hot. Yeah. So like that's it. That's all I know about the Godfather.
Oh, yeah. There's not a lot of female characters in the Godfather.
No.
There's like Diane Keaton, who you may or may not know is in that movie. And then Talia Shire's in it. But like, there's not a lot of shipping to be done.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, do you disagree?
No, no, I don't disagree. I'm sorry.
You weren't listening. It's okay. Kelly, what were you going to say?
I have never seen The Goonies.
Oh. Okay.
So I guess I ship, like, is Corey Feldman in that movie?
He sure is.
Is he the one with the glasses?
Yeah, it's like around Stand By Me era.
Yeah, he looks very around Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Okay, and then who is the one? Oh, I'm just looking at pictures because I've never seen the movie. And I don't really know the plot, right? Like, do they go, there's like treasure or something, and they go like underground?
Yeah, you got to follow the treasure. Yeah.
And then there's like, are there Goonies? Like, are Goonies people?
Goonie is like townie.
Oh.
Yeah. It's dumb.
The kids
it's a great name, but like it has no meaning.
Okay, well then in that case, I'm just looking at the image here. Maybe I ship, like, here's the thing. I feel like I probably, if I had seen this movie as a kid, would have unfortunately had a crush on the tall bad boy looking one with the red bandana.
Oh, Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin.
What?
Thanos.
And by the way, he is the opposite of bad boy. He is such a good boy. He can't help but be good all the time in a gross way. He is very helpful. He's very nice. He's very like he tries to follow the rules the most.
He's like babysitting a pack helps of wild dogs.
He's kind of grumpy at his little brother, but like in a almost like still like such a sweet good boy.
What?
He's such a good boy. He's too good.
I thought he was a bad boy because he's not a bad boy because he has a bandana.
No, the bad boy is a prep. The bad boy is like wears a sweater over his shoulders, but he might as well be wearing two different polo shirts of different colors and a sweater over his shoulder.
Which one is he?
I don't think he even makes the poster.
Really?
I mean, there's also evil robbers, but they're not bad boys.
And then there's like one girl.
Joey Pants is a bad guy in it.
And then there's one girl.
There's two girls.
There's two girls.
Martha Plimpton and like the girl from Lucas. But the girl from Lucas is like the cute girl that everyone would have a crush on. Like she's the cute girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's dating Short Round the bad boy prep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know who I would ship. I mean, they're all kids, so it's hard.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody's a kid, it's hard to find ships. I mean, your safest, unless you want to ship, like, what are you looking at the poster?
Here, hold on. I'm going to look at Goonies, the robbers.
Yeah.
There you go.
Which robbers
okay,
I
this
ship.
Is a, this is an avenue we can explore.
Yes. These are all adults.
Okay. Oh, kind of bleak. Kind of bleak looking. Kind of bleak.
Aren't they brothers as well?
They're a family, so you can't. You can't ship them.
Oh, we're setting boundaries now?
You think I can't ship them? You're trying to tell me what I can't do?
Do it.
Okay, I think it's... Wait, is one of them the guy that plays Radar in MASH?
No, I'm familiar. I guess that would be my...
I think it's Joey Pants. Isn't Joey Pants...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's Joey Pantoliano and another guy who plays like...
Who plays that type. Yeah.
Who plays that type and other things. And then the mama from Mama... Throw Mama from the Train.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they have another brother that, well, we don't want to ship him, but he's great. He's Chunk.
Okay.
No. Slot.
Wait, sorry. So they're all a family.
I mean, I think I never shipped them together, but my go-to Goonies ship is Chunk and Sloth. It's a friendship, but.
Yeah, I think we talked about that one on the show before.
I don't know.
Yeah, my ship would be Mouth and Steph.
Is it a good movie? Everyone loves it.
Yeah, I don't know if you would appreciate it as a grown woman, as an adult. It's a kid's adventure movie.
Yeah. I mean, I like Stand By Me a lot.
That, I think, has more of a view for adults.
Yeah, it is. It's a very...
I don't think Goonies...
I mean, it's Stephen King, which is why.
Yeah, I don't know that Goonies is, like, aimed at adults.
Yeah.
Goonies feels like Labyrinth in that it's, like, one of those movies that, like, if you didn't see it when you were a kid, there's no way into it.
I don't know. The first time I saw Labyrinth, I was in late high school, maybe even college.
I was in third grade.
Honestly, okay, Kelly, your best bet, if you ever do want to watch Goonies, which you do not have to do, and you know I don't tell you what to watch, but your best bet is to watch it on your own or if he doesn't care about it. Do not watch Goonies with somebody who loves Goonies. You'll have no chance.
Really?
Because they're going to get all excited about shit that you're like, I don't care. I don't care. Why? It'll be like an anthropological thing of watching them watch this movie.
Yeah.
If you want to give it a chance, just like try it. It's a kid's movie, but it can be, it's fun. It's a romp.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll watch it.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
And like
it.
There's, I mean, the like little, the kid who plays Short Round is like, he's actually like, he's a little gadget guy.
I like.
So he's got and like that. Actual gadgets. Short Round
a
they're
lot.
Fun.
I like that kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a man
so,
now.
So like, but. He's a man now. Though honestly, that's the sequel of Indiana Jones.
Is
oh,
him.
100%.
Short Round. Yeah. For sure. Is him. For sure. I love Short Round.
And I think he could be hot too now.
He is hot,
like,
I think.
He could be like a hot Indiana Jones. Like he could be the hero. He wouldn't have to just be the
sidekick.
And
he could even
anymore.
Go by the name Indiana. Like Short Round isn't his real name, and Indiana isn't Indiana Jones' real name.
Mm-hmm. I think he goes by, what's his character's name in Goonies? Data?
Yeah.
So he's using a nickname there as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's not okay. unattractive. I just looked him up now.
Yeah, I looked him up. He's not unattractive. He's a little bit, I was going to say old, but Indiana Jones was kind of old, so who cares?
Yeah, he's like, yeah. He looks like he's someone's nice husband.
He does look like a nice husband.
The picture I'm looking at from the Fan Expo in 2019, he would need a different haircut.
The haircut's not good.
But if you put the Indiana Jones hat on you,
yeah.
you don't mm-hmm. see that haircut anymore.
Yeah.
I just think that would be really fun.
Yeah.
I have went through a phase where I tried to fill all the holes in my movie knowledge. So there are very few movies that I guess that I at some point considered foundational that I didn't see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I've been thinking about this question since it was tweeted at us. And I think the one movie that I don't think I've seen that I feel like the world has seen or people have seen is anything in the Rambo franchise.
You've not seen any Rambos?
Ooh.
No Rambos. I've seen Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2. So I've
they're
seen
pretty
Rambo.
Racist.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Is like that's what I know about them. They're racist. I know his first name's John because one of the movies is called John Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I think the first movie isn't even called Rambo. It's, like I know the names of the movies.
Yeah, first one's First
I know
Blood, isn't
he
it?
Was yeah, yeah, and he was a vet.
Yeah,
so maybe, but he's the only character I know about. So I guess I have to ship him with someone, and maybe I ship him. I don't know. Like maybe does he die? Can we ship him in hell? I don't know.
Rambo? No, Rambo is Rambo is unkillable. Yeah.
All right, then maybe I ship Rambo.
I mean, just go
with...
ahead and ship him with Dennis Miller.
This is perfect. Oh my god! Okay, Dennis Miller from The Net.
Oh my god!
Wow.
My favorite Dennis Miller.
Yeah.
Hey guys.
Two relationships.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.